everybody. Welcome to today's show. My name is Spencer Walsh. You are listening to The Spencer Walsh Show right here on WMFO 91.5 here in Medford. We have a very great, very exciting show for you today. And we have, this is some of the stuff that we're going to be getting into. We're going to be talking today a little bit about effective altruism. We'll tell you a little bit more about that in just a minute. Then we're going to get into some music. And then joining us in the building, we will have a special guest to go over for a little bit of a kind of hit battle, Kendrick Lamar and Drake. You know, the two of the best rappers of this generation, many people would say. But first, I'm going to have a little bit of a philosophy session here. I guess you would call that. Welcoming today, Rachel Weinberg, the president of Effective Altruism Club here at Tufts University. Rachel, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Hello, I'm happy to be here.
All right, so first, I was just wondering if you could, by any chance, explain what Effective Altruism is and kind of like what your club does here at Tufts.
Okay, so Effective Altruism is a movement basically aiming to figure out how we can do the most good with our limited resources, so that's time and money. And then here at Tufts, our club's main goal is to try to get people to prioritize impact in their career and donation decisions, and maybe use the Effective Altruism framework to help them figure out how to best do that.
Yeah, and it was a really kind of interesting situation for me because obviously, you know, when you go to, you know, university for the first time, like, you learn new things. And one thing that, you know, really kind of caught me off guard was, you know, meeting Rachel and finding out about this Effective Altruism situation, because politically, you know, and I guess, you know, Effective Altruism is, you know, kind of a, you know, philosophy that does its whole goal is to make the world a better place. And, you know, that sounds like a pretty good thing to me. So first, you know, I was interested, and it really did kind of like take me a little bit of, you know, the biggest struggle for me coming in as which is kind of standard, you know, traditionally like left wing politics, to come in and understand was, what exactly does effective altruism, how does it, you know, what shape does it take in the real world? And that is really what I wanted to have you, Rachel, in today to talk about. And, you know, if before we get into kind of specific scenarios, like, how would you explain, you know, to the best of your, you know, ability, what effective altruism's impact would be?
I mean, it's really broad. The movement has, I'd say, three main broad cause areas. That's global health and poverty, animal welfare, and long-termism. And there are philosophical reasons why some people in the movement care about some issues and others care about others. So it's just really broad. It's hard to say, like, specifically how this comes into the real world. There are a lot of different things. So, like, policy lobbying, research, philosophy research specifically, like scientific research. It's just charitable donations is one. So it can be a lot of different things. It depends on the cause area and what people care about.
Yeah, that certainly makes sense. So just kind of like to give you kind of like a broad scenario, like to think about how would an effective altruist kind of go about answering this? Like, how much control would you say should, like, workers have on their workplace? Because I know, like, you know, for me, as someone who, as I said, kind of has the more traditional left-wing politics, that's, like, something that a question I certainly feel very, like, deeply about. And I was wondering how that would translate to effective altruism.
So I'd say, in general, there's not one philosophical framework that you have to have to be an effective altruist. Mm-hmm. But I'd say, generally, we're pretty consequentialist. So we mostly care about the outcome of a situation, or, like, and the outcomes of an action, as opposed to, and we maybe care a little bit less about things like fairness and justice intrinsically. They matter, obviously, mm-hmm. but we mostly care about the impact on welfare of people. I mean, I'd say generally with workplace conditions, I think people would benefit from being able to control their workplace more. I know that feeling controlled at work is correlated with depression, and that is obviously a really big problem. So I would generally be pro more worker control over workplace conditions.
So would you say, like, you kind of view it as kind of like a how the individual person is feeling, or, like, in terms of more of, like, as an emotional aspect on the day-to-day life?
Yeah, I think so. I care about the welfare of individuals, yeah.
Would you say that, like, you know, because the way I asked that question is with, you know, as I said, in comparing to more like the left wing kind of politics or just politics in general, is like the more, you know, are people, like the welfare is defined by certain more material like conditions, like how able are you like go to the doctor, you know, affordably. Are you able to like buy a house? Are you like socially, you know, mobile? A whole host of things, you know, whatever barrier or marker you would like to lay down. How would you say that translates? How would you measure like the welfare of somebody through effective altruism?
So I mean, the classic thing, at least it's common with like specifically global health interventions, is to use QALY, so that's quality adjusted life years. And these are calculated basically by asking people about their preferences. So would you rather live 1 year as you are, or live a year and a half like blind, or a year and a half with migraines or something like that? And you figure out what the exchange rate is. So it's like how valuable is your life at varying levels of welfare. But in real life, I mean, doing those calculations, first of all, the metric isn't perfect for various reasons that I won't go into. But in real life, I think that you're right that usually we have to do it based off material conditions.
Yeah.
Like you can't ask every individual how this change to their life would affect them. And usually people are happier when they have more food, better healthcare, better housing, whatever. Like I agree with those metrics. Yeah,
but so yeah, how would you, because like then wouldn't that kind of like expose like some sort of like limitation or no?
I don't think so. It's just I think that we say more fundamentally that we are aiming to optimize for welfare, and then in real life the metrics that we use to figure out how to do that are frequently just heuristics. But that's I think how a lot of things work.
Yeah, I guess you could kind of make the argument that, you know, the kind of metrics that I mentioned would be a little bit more, you know, a little bit imperfect too in terms of like how you can measure, but I think they're like a lot more, you know, like kind of tangible, which I think personally I think makes them more effective.
I mean one thing is that there are cases where you have to trade off between them. So saying that we are optimizing for one thing fundamentally lets you figure out how you would make that trade off. So if like you have a certain amount of money and you could either spend it to improve housing or to improve healthcare, then like your metrics don't give you a way to think about that trade-off.
Interesting. So, like, what kind of metrics would be you use to kind of decide that question?
I mean, QALY is the quality-adjusted life years is a way to, basically the point of it is to compare interventions that maybe affect people's welfare in different ways that intuitively would be hard to come up with good trade-offs for, but if you ask people about their preferences, you can figure out like what type of improvement to their welfare would be like overall more valuable to them.
Yeah, that certainly makes sense. And another kind of question that I would like to move on to. So in terms of healthcare, is, you know, profiting off of healthcare, it's a huge industry here in the United States, a little bit less so in other countries. Do you think that profit off of healthcare is moral?
So like I said earlier, at least I, and I think a lot of EAs probably more than the general population, are like more concerned just with outcomes. So I wouldn't say it's inherently wrong, but I'm not an expert on healthcare policy by any means. So you can, a lot of this is depends on empirics, but, my understanding is that the US has all sorts of problems with our healthcare system that make it inefficient and that are probably driven by like profit motives and stuff. So it might be that in real life, like having a different healthcare system, which does not allow for profit, leads to better outcomes. I'm not actually sure about this. There also maybe are some reasons that it would be good to have competition or something for better outcomes. But that's like an empirical question.
And this is kind of one that, especially with your kind of like focus on charity, I would certainly be interested to kind of delve a little bit more into here. So how much control do you think I was reading the wrong one there. this is my bad. So this is one because with the charity focus of and the donation focus that EA does have, should private charity or public programs be the main drivers of public or general social good? So like, would you rather see a social program be instituted in the United States to fix homelessness, for example, like something like the Great Society or something like the New Deal, or do you think it would be better done by these kind of wealthy philanthropists?
Okay, so
is that more of an outcomes thing?
No, I mean, okay, so I think that there are actually some people in EA. There are, like, this is not a significant portion of EAs, but there are some, like, libertarians who mm-hmm. like EA specifically because the good is coming from private actors. Not in that camp. The specific private actors in EA who are doing grant making and such happen to share a lot of my values. So I think that they are doing a better job of allocating mm-hmm. resources than the government does. But I don't think, like, inherently that it's better that it's done by private actors or anything. So the other thing is, I think that this is maybe missing a different class of things that I think has the potential to have really big impact, which is, like, research. So academic research. Like, I think technology has changed our society in a lot of ways. Like, a big example is in the 20th century, the invention of birth control. That was, like, a privately funded research project that I think contributed in big ways to women's mm-hmm, equality. Mm-hmm. I definitely value scientific research a lot.
I do think it definitely is, like, kind of worth discussing, maybe just kind of from my, like, perspective. I don't know how you would, like, agree with this, but, like, do you think it is worth, like, a cause of debate as to who makes these kind of big technological steps forward? Because, that, I think, largely depends on who they're accessible to. Like, if you have, especially now in a very much more unequal age, do we really have to worry about who is making these big technological advancements as to, who they're accessible to, for example, especially in, instances of, like, medicine?
Absolutely. I mean, I think when it comes to healthcare, again, like, I'm mostly concerned about outcomes, but I do think it's a problem that in a country this wealthy, that there are people who are, like, struggling to be able to pay for their healthcare. I don't think that that should be, we just have enough resources to solve that problem. And I think that it's important that, like, I think EA is very egalitarian. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody, I think even more so than the mainstream in some ways, because we care about, like, people outside of the U.S. equally. And if you take that view, there are a lot of ways in which, like, unequal access to technology is, like, a big misallocation of resources for welfare.
Yeah, and, like, it's kind of more of, like, from, not necessarily from, like, a health perspective, although health is, I think, one big example of where this is, like, the most prevalent, is, like, especially even with, the vaccines, like, right now outside the U.S., is, like, if we had a private advancement, a private, step forward, or innovation of some kind, or a public advancement that was kind of, like, done in the same way, had the same result, which one would be the more, would you have one that would be kind of more, like, inherently desirable, or do you think it, like, doesn't really matter?
I don't think it really matters. So in this case, you're talking about, like, if research is funded by the government?
Yeah. If it's, like, in a public, or even, like, some sort of, like, government, even, like, a government program, for example, or a government institution makes the step forward.
Yeah, it's not particularly important to me. I mean, I think, like, you are interested in politics, so it would be great if you, influence politics to, like, fund research that's better, but also if somebody has the means to influence research that's private in positive ways, that's just as good. Depends what you're capable of doing.
I also think, like, a big reason, again, as I said, why that would important be, accessibility. Like, we've seen private inventions, be, withheld to, people in America, people out of America, because of, they're not able to pay for it or whatever reason.
So, I mean, just because something is invented by the government doesn't mean that everybody is being given it.
Well,
right?
It's like, so, it's much more, it is much more, it's like, it's much more accessible. It's like, there's, certain, it's not really determined by income in a lot of cases. It is means tested, I guess it is, like, you qualify for certain programs, but if, you know, you are, you know, that's kind of a predetermined, you know, fair target that's out there. You know, they can't, you know, the profit motive, again, it's not there.
So what's an example outside of, like, pharmaceuticals where this is a, or, like, healthcare in general, where a technology has been invented by the, well, by either the government or by outside actors where this is, like...
Oh, well, I think one big example was, you got me there again because I was thinking of penicillin. All right, no, I think that's, yeah, I think, do you have any industries you were thinking of? Because, like, I could, you know, I could try and think of, you know, a specific, because, you know, science, you know, there has been, you know, space is an interesting one. That's, I think that's actually a big subject for debate, you know, with, like, you know, private space research. I don't really know, to be honest, too much about, you know, non-health, or non-kind of, like, medical-related, you know, research when it comes to, you know, I guess climate change, a lot of that research is done by, you know, I guess the UN, right? That would be...
Yeah, yeah. It just seems like with a lot of things that aren't medicine, it's not really, like, you're producing a commodity that should be distributed to everybody.
Yeah, that's true. So I guess just, for medicine, I guess like less it applicable more to applicable. Other fields. Yeah, I guess that is fair. Yeah, I guess, but medicine is, you know, it's a very... You know, and just general, you know, public health is, I think, is a very broad field, though.
Yeah.
And you did say, I was interested in one of your, like, big pillars here of EA is, as you said before, is about the, you know, foreign policy and, you know, how, you know, we as EA, you know, French altruists would be viewing, you know, people outside the United States as... equal to people inside the United States, and what if, you know, kind of specific change. This may be a little more kind of like a specific one. How an effective altruist specifically change American foreign policy?
Okay, so there are two like broad classes of things. I'd say the first one is probably increase foreign aid and definitely make foreign aid better. So foreign aid is something that has what's called like a long tail distribution where most of it is like very ineffective, but the most effective foreign aid can be really effective. Like we know ways to save a life of like a poor child for between $3,000 and $5,000. And the American government is willing to spend millions of dollars to save one American life. Whereas it could just spend a few thousand to save the life of somebody else. And like, there's a lot of really low hanging fruit where like we could give a very small part of our budget and do a lot of good for people outside of the country.
That is interesting. Like, yeah, there's really like low cost ways to make sure like the United States is actually committed to doing good, as they, you know, so often says, like they can actually do it for pretty low cost, pretty efficiently. All right. Last question here, which, you know, what thing would you most like people to do if they want to find out more about EA?
Well, we do have an Instagram, so, you can follow us at jumbos.ea. That's the main way to reach out to us. You can also email me if you're interested and we can put you on the mailing list. Also if you just Google like effective altruism, there are lots of articles about it. If you're interested to learn more. Yeah.
Rachel Weinberg of Effective Altruist here at Tufts, the president. Rachel, thank you very, very much for joining us. Really do appreciate it. All right, we are going to move on. We'll be back in just a second with Andrew Fisher. We're talking about we're talking about Drake and Kendrick Lamar, who is better. We're going to go through that, but first, throwback. This is I Got Five on It by Loonies and Michael Marshall. Thank you so much, Rachel. We'll be back in a second with more of the Spencer Walsh Show. Kind of broke the scene and y'all, so all I got is five. Player, give me some brew and I might just chill. But I'm the type that like to light another joint like Cypress Hill. I still do be spit loogies when I puff on it. I got some bucks on it, but it ain't enough on it. Go get the S, the T-I-D-E-S. Nevertheless, I'm hella fresh, rolling joints like a cigarette. So pass it across the table like ping pong. I'm gone, beating my chest like King Kong. And some wrap my lips around the phony. And when it comes to getting another
like Shinobi. Tell me ain't my homie to begin with. It's too many hands to be. Probably let my friend hit bit. Unless you pull out the fat crispy. $5 bill on the real before it's history. Cause fools be having them vacuum lungs. And if you let them hit it for free, you hella dumb. Da-dum-dum. I come to school with a tailor on my earlobe. Avoiding all the flick teasers, skeezers, and weirdos. That be throwing off the land like where the bomb at. Give me $2, you take a puff and pass my bomb back. Suck up the dank like a Slurpee. The serious bomb will make a nigga go delirious like Eddie Murphy. I got more growing pains than Maggie. Cause homie snagged me to take the dank out of the bag. Whenever I can, don't need no crutch. I'm so keyed up till the joint be burning my hand. Next time I roll it in a hamper to burn slow, so the ashes won't be burning in my hand, bruh. Hoogees get hit, but they know they got a pitch and bent. I roll a joint that's longer than your extension. Cause I'll be damned if you get high off me for free. Hell no, you better bring your own split cheek. What's up, don't babysit that? Better pass the joint. Stop hitting cause you know you got asthma. Crack the 40 open, homie, and guzzle it. Cause I know the weed in my system is getting lonely. I gotta take a whiz test to my P.O. I know I feel cause I done smoked major weed, bro. And every time we with Chris, that fool rolling up a fatty. But the Tango Ray straight had me. Stop at the light, man. My yesterday thing got me hung off the night train. You fade, I fake, so let's head to the east. Hit the stroll to 9-0 so we can roll big hashish. I wish I could fade the 8, but I'm no budget. Still rolling the 2-0, cut the same old bucket. Foggy window, soggy endo. I'm in the land, getting smoke with my kid. Up in smoke, yuck, I spray you, lay it down. Up in the OAK, the town. Homies don't play around, we down to blaze a pound. Then ease up, speed up through the ESO. Drink the VSO, pee up with the lemon squeeze up. And everybody's throwed up. I'm the roller, that's quick to fold up. Blunt out of a bunch of sticky doja. Hold up, suck up my weed, it's all you do, kicking. Cause we're IBs, we need to have like a foo-foo.
From one West Coast classic to another, it's a little bit of Snoop Dogg, Gin and Juice.
With so much drama in the LBC, it's kind of hard being Snoop D-O-double-G, but I somehow, some way, keep coming up with funky, yeah, this shit like every single day. May I kick a little something for the G's and make a few ends as I breeze through. 2 in the morning and the party still jumping cause my mama ain't home. I got sisters in the living room getting it on and they ain't leaving till 6 in the morning. So what you want to do? I got a pocket full of rubbers and my homeboys do too. So turn off the lights and close the doors. But
for what?
We don't love them hoes.
Yeah.
So we gon' smoke an ounce to this. G's up, hoes down. Why you look up for the bounce to this? Laid back
with my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
Rolling down the street, smoking weed out, sipping on gin and juice.
Laid back
with my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
Back. I got me some Seagram's gin. Everybody got their cups, but they ain't chipped in. Now this type of shit happens all the time.
You gotta get yours, but fool, I gotta get mine. Everything is fine when you're listening to the D.O.G. I got the cultivating music that be captivating he who listens to the words that I speak as I take me a drink to the middle of the street and get to mackin' to this dude's name Shady. She used to be the homeboy's lady. 80 degrees when I tell that shit, please raise up off these N.U.T.s, cause you get none of these at ease. As I mob with the dog pound, feel the breeze. But now you just
rolling down the street, smoking halo, sipping on gin and juice.
Laid back
with my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
Rolling down the street, smoking halo, sipping on gin and juice.
Laid back
with my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
Later on that day, my homie Dr. Dre came through with a gang to Tango Ray. And a fat yes, that of some bubonic made me choke. This shit ain't no joke. I had to back up off of it and sit my cup down. Tango Ray, you know, yeah, I'm up now. But it ain't no stopping. I'm still popping. Dre got some shit from the city of Compton to serve me. Not with a cherry on top. Cause when I bust my nut, I'm raising the bar. Don't get upset, girl. That's just how it goes. I don't love you hoes. I'm out the dough. And I'll be
rolling down the street, smoking window, sipping on.
Laid back
with my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
Rolling down the street.
Everyone is in the music world, of course, talking about the crazy and really horrific situation that happened over the weekend. Saturday night, I believe it was, at the Astroworld Fest, with 8 people dying. Really just all the oldest person apparently was 27 years old. Just absolutely horrific stuff. And, you know, it really is kind of amazing that I think just like a lot of this, I think it's going to cause a real reckoning about, you know, a lot of stuff. And by the way, if anyone does ever, you know, come across my Twitter, by the way, the tweet I tweeted about this situation was, you know, it was a joke. It was like, I don't think Travis Scott's actually sent it. Satanic. But what I do think is he should and probably will be hit with a very, very big lawsuit because, you know, there, like, this is something he cannot claim that he was, like, kind of unaware of this culture or not, like, actively encouraging it for years. And a lot of people were. There is, you know, it's like, it's the rage culture, and it's definitely something that, you know, it's not like there was a satanic, you know, like ritual sacrifice here, going on or something, anything ridiculous like that. But you know, it was just like the aesthetics and the posters and the stuff, you know, really made that impression, you know, with the, you know, I've been going through, you know, TikTok all day, seeing just these ridiculous conspiracy theories about, you know, this Astroworld is, you know, a devil summoning because the poster had, you know, Illuminati eye on it or something like that. But, you know, I remember going to this, you know, or not going to, but watching the Look Mom, I Can Fly Travis Scott documentary on Netflix. And all it was just like, you know, bro, this is the rage. We sign up for the rage and we risk going to the hospital, you know? And it was only a matter of time, it really was only a matter of time before someone did a little bit more than just go to the hospital, you know? And it was a very, very sad situation, probably going to prompt, and I think it really should prompt a very, very big, you know, kind of reckoning and reassessment of exactly what is going on here at these concerts, especially with, you know, poorly, you know, I'm going to say it, poorly run festivals. Like what we saw at Astroworld, you know, I don't know if this would have happened at, you know, some place like a Rolling Loud that may have been a little bit more, you know, well-run, put together, but it's definitely going to change the way a lot of people process hip-hop, you know, the event insurance, you know, what do they always say, it's the insurance, you know, but it is going to be definitely a big, big deal going forward. You know what, we got Andrew coming in just a few minutes. But stick around for some more music. This is SZA.
But dirty shoes since I was 10, love dirty men alike. Ooh. world and I got pieces and pages talking a lot. Sorry, I'm faded. Think I forgot you love me. Been about 2 days from break. Been about 3 years since I dated you. Why you still talking about me like we together? I moved on for the better. You moved on to whoever. I was down for whatever and then some. You gon' make me late to work again. Ooh, better day than yesterday. Ooh, I just take it day by day.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We are here today with, we got a very special guest. We got our second guest today. We have Andrew Fisher joining us. Andrew, welcome. Coming through. All right. And today we're doing a little bit of kind of like a game, you know, I guess you could say. And it is a little bit of a back and forth battle. Who's the better catalog? We got either Drake or Kendrick Lamar, just, you know, two of the most, you know, probably, you know, most well-known rappers of our generation. So Andrew, you want to be introducing? You can go first. You're the guest. You can introduce your side.
All right, I'm gonna start off one of Kendrick's biggest hits off of his 2013 album. Like, I guess, you know, Good Kid, Mad City really broke out off of, you know, people started knowing him after Section 80, but Good Kid, Mad City, he really broke into the mainstream. This is one of his biggest hits from that one. Really good song, really high energy. Here we got Mad City.
If I rose and Crips all got along, they probably got me down by the end of the song. Seem like the whole city go against me. Every time I'm in the street, I hear yak, 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 yak.
Man down, where you from? Who you know, where you from? Where your grandma stay, huh, man? This mad city I run.
Brace yourself, I take you on a trip down memory lane. This is not a rapper, I'm slinking. Go move. This is cul-de-sac and plenty cognac and major pain. Not the drill sergeant, but the stress that weighing on your brain. It was me, El Boogie, Yang, and YG Lucky. Ride down Rosecrans, it got ugly. Waving your hand out the window, check yourself. Warriors and coldness, hope euphoria can slow dance with society. The driver seat, the first one to get killed. Seen a light skin with his brains blown out. At the same burger stand with same gout. Now this is not a tape recorder saying that he did it, but ever since that day, I was looking at him different. That was back when I was 9. Joey packed a 9. Pack a stand on every porch is fine. We adapt to crime. Pack a van with 4 guns at a time. With the sliding door, it's up. You shooting 4 if you ain't walking up. Fucking punk. Picking up the pump. Picking off you sucker, sucker. Could die a sucker punch. A wall of bullets coming from AKs, ARs, AR, duck. That's
what mama said when we was eating that free lunch. Oh man, damn, all hell broke loose. You killed my cousin back in 94. Your truce, now crawl your head in that noose. You wind up dead on the news. Ain't no peace treaty, just peace and BG's up to pre-approve. Bodies on top of bodies, IVs on top of IVs. Obviously the coroner between the sheets like the Ozzy's. When you hop on that trolley, make sure your color's correct. Make sure your corporate or they'll be calling your mother collect. They say the governor collect all of our taxes except when we in traffic and tragic happens, that shit ain't no threat. You moving backwards if you suggest that you sleep with a tech. Go buy a chopper and have a doctor on speed dial, I guess. Mass City.
Man down, where you from? Who you know, where you from? Where your grandma stay, huh, mine? This mad city I run.
If Pyros and Crips all got along, they probably got me down by the end of the song. Seem like the whole city go against me. Every time I'm in the street, I hear
yak, yak, yak.
Wake your punk up. It ain't nothing but a Compton thing. Chill. Real simple and plain. Let me teach you some lessons about the street. Hood. Ain't nothing but a Compton thing. Chill. How we do?
For sure, school, 'cause I was a high school grad. Sleeping in the living room on my mama's pad. Reality struck, I seen a white car crash. Hit the light pole too, just hopped out on foot and dashed. My pop said I needed a job, I thought I believed him. Security gone for a month and ended up leaving. In fact, I got fired cause I was inspired by all of my friends to stage a robbery the third Saturday I clocked in. Projects tow up, gang signs get thrown up, laced in marijuana. And they wonder why I really smoke now. Imagine if your first blood had you foaming at the mouth. How straight tweak it the next week and we broke even. I made allegiance and made a promise to see you bleeding. You know the reasons, but still I never know my life. Kendrick, aka Compton's human sacrifice.
Yeah. Been mixing since the 80s, low. States bug gets deaf, making up the flesh. Cluck heads all up and down the block and shit. One time's crooked as block again. A laundry, rose crash, bullets. What's up? I'm still in the hood. No, yeah, that's cool. Yeah. The hood took me under, so I follow the rules. But yeah, that's like me. I grew up in the hood where they banging. Cause the rep colors is doing the same thing. Pass it to the left so I can smoke on me. A couple drive-bys in the hood lately. Yeah. Couple of IPs with the f***ing spray can. Shots in the crowd, then everybody ran. Hood been a slave, the street life I crave. Shots at the enemy, hearts turn brave. Mount up, regulators in the whip. Down the boulevard with the f***ing yeah. Trip, we in the hood still. So low grab strap, cause G is so real. Yeah. Deal with the outcome, a strap in the hand and a burn 10 grand's where motherfuckers stand.
If I told you I killed a nigga at 16, would you believe me? Or see me to be innocent Kendrick you seen in the street with a basketball and some now latest to eat? If I'm mashing all of my skeletons, would you jump in the sea? Would you say my intelligence now is great relief? And it's safe to say that our next generation maybe can sleep with dreams of being a lawyer, doctor, instead of boy with a chopper. They hold the codas like a hostage. Kill them all if they gossip. The children of the corn, saving their lives and the option of living a lie. Drive their body with toxins, constantly drinking and drive. Hit the button and watch this flame that arrives. In his eye. This account with the concept is aiming, they bang in the slide. Out that bitch with deposit, a price on his head. The tides probably go to the projects. I live inside the belly of the rough. Compton, USA, made me an angel and angel dust. What?
That one is going to be very, very tough to beat. Absolutely love it. And, you know, oh, that second half, there was, like, a really embarrassingly large amount of time where I just, like, really was, like, I should be skipping the second half. Like, that was my big, big mistake. But anyway, we're going to move on now to my selection. This is also kind of a big Drake breakout song. You know, this is, you know, after this for him, nothing was the same. And it's when he started beyond his worst behavior.
Worst. My never loved her. Never loved her. You ain't know now, you know now. Still at the scrub J's with a toothbrush. Still playing my old shit. But yo, it's like the police asking us questions. We don't know shit. Flex. I'm just flex. Never loved us. Do it look like we stress. Look at you, look at you, and look at you. I'm glad that they chose us. Command and submission, try to fight to the finish just to see if my finish. On my worst behavior, no. They used to never wanna hear us. Remember? Motherfucker never loved us. Remember? Motherfucker. Remember? Motherfucker never loved us. I'm on my worst behavior. Don't you ever get it fucked up. Motherfucker never loved us. Man, motherfucker never loved us. Worst behavior. Motherfucker never loved us. Never loved us. Worst behavior. Hold up, hold my phone. Motherfucker never loved us. Never loved us. Now you wanna roll one. Motherfucker never loved us. So everywhere we go now, full cup. Always hated the boy, but now the boy is the man. Motherfucker, I done grew it up. You know me. You know me. I'm liable to do anything when it comes to that. You owe me. You owe me. You owe me. You better have my money when I come for this like ODB. On my worst behavior, no. They used to never wanna hear us. Remember? Motherfucker never loved us. Remember? Motherfucker. Remember? Motherfucker never loved us. I'm on my worst behavior. Don't you ever get it f***ed up. Motherfucker never loved us. Man, motherfucker never loved us. Worst behavior. Motherfucker never loved us. Never loved us. Worst behavior.
Who's high, who not? Tell me who rock, who sell out in the store. You tell me who flop, who cop the new drop. Who jewels got rocks, who else making rap albums, doing numbers like it's pop. Same old pimp, Drake, you know ain't nothing changed. With these funny style n****s we done put on in the game. I just asked for some blessings at my grandmother's grave. Then it's back to LA, open the mail, staring at the check. Enough to make you thought, man, it's gross what I net. I'm with my whole set, tennis matches at the crib. I swear I could be Serena when she playing with her left. Oh, where I reside, it look like a resort aside. Where your shit from? I imported mine. Ball miss for money like my last name, Mordecai. I'm more than high. My mama probably hear that and be mortified. This ain't the son you raised, he used to take the Acura at 5 a.m. to go and shoot the grassy up on Morningside. For all the stunning, I'll forever be immortalized. Yeah, back and forth across the borderline. Hate to leave the city, but I gotta do the overtime. Gone all the time, even the important times. I should let you know ahead, I'm coming back on my worst behavior. Remember? Remember? Motherfucker. Remember?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Worst Behavior by Drake and Mad City there from Kendrick Lamar. All right, you know, that was a, you know, very interesting two choices there as we welcome back, you know, guest Andrew Fisher joining us here today. So, you know, I have to say, I'm going to make this very bold claim here, just listening to, you know, the two songs that we just heard. There are some times where I would rather hear Worst Behavior than Mad City.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, those big, grand beat switches that Drake can be known for, those just, like, hit differently sometimes. But Mad City's got one, too. But
I think the best thing with, like, you know, if I'm with Drake, you know, maybe I'd listen to that, like, going out, you know, when I'm, like, at a park, you know, like, you're, like, on the way to, like, someplace, you want to, like, you know, you want to boost the energy, you know, but even then,
like, a pregame, like, before a big game,
yeah,
before,
yeah,
you know, you gotta perform well, so, it's a hype-up song for real.
Yeah, I think, like, yeah, four minutes, 30 seconds, though, is too long, you know, because it is kind of a flat song. Like, it's very, you know, it just stays down. It doesn't, like, change. It's not really kind of, like, experimental in any way. It's very much just standard notion there. But that I think, you know, we both agree, you know, Worst Behavior, it's a solid song. It's definitely a standout song on that album. But in terms of just Mad City, it's on a whole different tier. That's what I would say. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Mad City is just so iconic. Drake has so many hits in his catalog. There's so many great songs on that album that it's hard to like pick one that stands above the rest. But when you're talking about a song like that with a big grand beat switch in the middle and really high energy, really hype, I think that Mad City really stands out in Kendrick's catalog.
Yeah, it's one of those like where you hear the first, like, you play it in like a big group of people, the first, you know, few seconds, everyone's going to react.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Worst Behavior, not someone like that. hate to be saying that to Drake there, but you know, there are some good songs on that album. You know, maybe, you know, Pound Cake, I would say, probably like
iconic song.
How could Jay-Z, I forget? Yeah.
Tuscan Mother is one of the best intros of the 2010s, I would say.
Interesting. Would you put that against Meek Mill?
Mm-hmm.
Would you put that against Dreams and Nightmares?
I don't know. I would say Dreams and Nightmares with that energy. With that crazy, like, I guess it's also sort of a beat switch, like, you know, a minute in, the energy just builds up, it's all slow, and then it hits you with it. It's pretty crazy, but Tuscan Mother's definitely up there. I'd say maybe, like, top five intros, album intros of the 2010s,
Yeah, and then you got All Me to close it off, so, like, there's definitely, like, there's a lot of good stuff on this album. Maybe I'll do that for, I'll stick with Nothing With The Same, but there's a lot, so much on that Drake catalog. Like, he's been around about the same time as Kendrick, but, like, double the, like, probably the output.
Yeah, I mean, Kendrick hasn't dropped since 2017, so he was pretty active, but he definitely doesn't have as extensive of a catalog as Drake does.
All right, you wanna introduce your next Kendrick pick?
All right, we're going to go with a song from Kendrick's 2015 magnum opus, people would say, To Pimp a Butterfly. This is The Black or the Berry, like, thematically so deep, so much going on there. You can listen to it like 20 different times and you would still pick out a different line to pick up on. So we're gonna go with it.
Freedom only live in your eyes. You hate me, don't you? I know you hate me. just as much as you hate yourself. Jealous of my wisdom and cards I dealt. Watching me as I pull up, fill up my tank, then pill out. Muscle cars like pull-ups, show you what 15 mil bout. Black is successful, this black man meant to be special. Cat scans on my radar, how can I help you? How can I tell you I'm making a killing? You make me a killer, emancipation of a real nigga.
The black of the belly, the sweet of riches. The black of the belly, the sweet of riches. The black of the belly, the sweet of riches. The black of the belly, the
I saw them shit like a slave, can be black. Boy, if you feel my leap of pain, can be black. I'm an asset, they put me in a chain, can be black. I'm a chain now, me go a chain full of rocks. And you know, see the whip, left yard from the back. But now we have a big whip back from the black. All them are so redoomed from the start, can be black. But remember this, every race start from the black. Just remember that.
I'm the biggest hypocrite in 2015. When I finish this, if you listen, then sure you will agree. This plot is bigger than me. It's generational hatred. It's cynicism. It's grimy little justification. I'm African American. I'm African. I'm black as the heart of a f***ing Aryan. I'm black as the name of Tyrone and Darius. Excuse my French, but f*** you, no f*** y'all. That's as blunt as it gets. I know you hate me, don't you? You hate my people. I can tell because it's threats when I see you. I can tell because your waist is evil. No, I can tell because you in love with the desert eagle. Thinking maliciously, he get a chain, then you gon' bleed him. It's funny how Zulu and Xhosa might go to war. Two tribal armies that want to build and destroy. Remind me of these Compton Crip gangs that live next door. Beefing with Pyrus, only death settled the score. So no matter how much I say I like to preach with the Panthers, or tell Georgia State Marcus Garvey got all the answers, or try to celebrate February like it's my B-Day, or eat watermelon chicken and Kool-Aid on weekdays, or jump high enough to get Michael Jordan endorsements, or watch BET cause urban support is important. So why did I weep when Trayvon Martin was in the street, when gangbanging make me kill a nigga blacker than me? Hypocrite.
The Black of the Berry, Kendrick Lamar, one of probably the best songs, I don't know, of the 2010s. We have to take a quick 15-second break. We'll be right back.
All right. Listen to WMFO Medford.
All right, so let's get right into my personal next pick. You know, looking, this is probably the one thing that you can say that Drake probably definitely, you know, did better than anybody else, at least in the 2010s, and that is diss tracks, believe it or not, and that is Back to Back, his diss track on Meek Mill.
Oh man, oh man, oh man, not again. Yeah, I learned a game from William Wesley, you can never check me. Back to back for the n- that didn't get the message. Back to back like I'm on the cover of Lethal Weapon. Back to back like I'm Jordan 96, 97, whoa. Very important and very pretentious. When I look back, I might be mad that I gave this attention. Yeah, but it's weighing heavy on my conscience. Yeah, and you left the boy no options. I wanna see my go insane. You gon' make me step out of my frame. You gon' make me buy bottles for Charlemagne. You gon' make me go out of my way. I waited 4 days, where y'all at? I drove here in a rave playing AR app. I'm not sure what it was that really made y'all mad, but I guess this is what I gotta do to make y'all rap. I mean, ooh, can't fool the city, man, they know what's up. Second floor of Tootsie's getting shoulder rubs. This for y'all to think that I don't write enough. They just mad cause I got the Midas touch. You love her, then you gotta get a world tour. Is that a world tour or your girl's tour? I know that you gotta be a thug for her. This ain't what she meant when she told you to open up more. Yeah, trigger fingers turn to Twitter fingers. Yeah, you getting body by singing. I'm not the type of nigga that'll type it. And shout to all my boss, wife and make sure you hit them with the prenup. Then tell that man to ease up. I did another one, I did another one. You still ain't did shit about the other one. Got the drink in me going back to back. Yeah, going back to back. I got the drink in me going back to back. Yeah, I'm going back to back. I don't wanna hear about this ever again. Not even when she tell them that they better as friends. Not even when you're saying Drizzy tell them again. I've been putting on the show, it was a sellout event. Oh, you need better seating. I didn't want to do it, gave me every reason. The point I'm trying to make is I don't ever need them. Seen what you do for fame or what you do for freedom. Please, check them for a while or an earpiece. Please, please do not let these nail me, please. Think before you come for the great one, please. Who's a real and who ain't one, please. Somebody stop me. I'm talking Bossy and Guanajuato. I got the fest in 5 days and it's my. Soon as it hit the stage, they gon' ask if I can play this back to back. Yeah, they want it back to back. They gon' ask if I can play this back to back. I took a break from views, now it's back to that.
There we go. That was, you know, you cannot deny that is an incredible song there from Drake. And one that, you know, normally I would put up right there with any. And there's, you know, we only really are going to be able to get through, you know, two Drake songs owing to the fact that it is 156. But, yeah, you know, I think there's definitely, like, it kind of goes to more of a story of what we talked about before, which is, you know, more output from Drake at a very high level, you know, at a level that kind of hits, I think, everyone's kind of pleasure centers almost. But with Kendrick, it's just like, it really makes you like, you know it's good.
All right, next up we got, I gotta finish it off with my favorite Kendrick Lamar song of all time. You know, Block of the Berry, you really heard that rage in his voice. This one's a little bit more low-key. Something I don't think is mentioned enough when we talk about Kendrick is how he can just switch up his voice. So many different voices.
Yes, news. What did he say? Like, news foes coming. Be patient, brother.
Yeah, yeah.
It's coming. It's coming. I'm so excited.
Kendrick coming soon. We'll see. We got the teasers. We got the sneak peeks. So we hope it's coming.
Yeah, you gotta go through those on SoundCloud.
All right, Duckworth. Here we go.
It was always me versus the world. Until I found it's me versus me.
Big thank you to Andrew and Rachel. That's all we got for you today. This has been the Spencer Walsh Show.
Darling, I've told you many times, and now I'm telling you once again, just to remind you, sweetheart, that my
oh, Lamar, Hail Mary, your Mary, times is hard. Pray with the hooligan, shadows all in the dark. Fellowship with demons and relatives, I'm a star. Life is one funny mob. A true comedian, you gotta love him. You gotta trust them. I might be bugging. Infomercials and no sleep. Introverted by my thoughts. Children listen, it gets deep. See, once upon a time inside the Nickerson Garden Projects, the object was to process and digest poverty's dialect. Adaptation inevitable. Gun violence, spot federal policies. Rape builders and drug professionals. Anthony was the oldest of seven. Well respected, calm and collected. Laughing and joking made life easier. Hard times, mama. A 4-year-old telling his nanny he needed her. His family history, pimping and banking. He was meant to be dangerous. Clacked him a grip and starts 15, scraping up his jeans with quarter pieces. Even got some from a smoker last weekend. Dodge a policeman working for his chick on me. Small time hustler graduated to a brick on him. $10,000 out of for project housing. That's on the daily. Seen his first meal, 20 years old. Had a couple of babies. Had a couple of shooters. Caught a murder case. Fingerprints on the gun, they're assuming, but witnesses couldn't prove it. That was back when he turned his back and they killed his cousin. He beat the case and went back to hustling. Bird shuffling, Anthony rang. The first in the projects with the two-tone Mustang. That 5.0 thing. They say 5-0 came. Circling parking lots and parking spots and hopping out while harassing the corner blocks. Crooked cops told Anthony he should kick it. He brushed him off and walked back to the Kentucky Fried Chicken. See, at this chicken spot there was a light skin that talked a lot with a curly